By your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. What a powerful song, a song that speaks faith. And I trust your own heart bears witness with the song that you can arise no matter what happens. You know, you feel like you have, you're just lying in ashes kind of thing. You can rise up by the Spirit of the living God. Welcome to our service this morning. If you have been following our service each Sunday, I trust that you have been blessed. God has ministered to you in one way or another. Thank God for the word that has been coming forth. Also, thank God for an amazing worship team that we have that helps us to arise from where we are at and go into the very presence of God to bless and honor His name. Amen. As we come back next Sunday, which is going to be an exciting, exciting Sunday, as we come back, please make sure that you are fully vaccinated. Don't get upset when the guys outside ask you for your to show them that you are fully vaccinated. You go anywhere, go into any makan shop, or you go into the mall, wherever you want to go, you've got to show that you are fully vaccinated, okay, before you can go in. In fact, we at Sepang, the guys come around to the beach and check people, you know, and when they see that they are not fully vaccinated, they have to pack up and go back quickly. One dose is not enough. They've got to be fully vaccinated. So don't get upset when they ask you for it. Make sure you refresh your Maisa Jatra as well so that, you know, there will be no hiccups in the whole thing. This morning, I want to get back into our study on faith, And that's an exciting thing. What's the definition of faith? Faith is a complete trust or a confidence in someone. Trust and confidence in a person. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 22, He said, have faith in God. It is imperative that we trust God. Now, there are many questions people have. Why does God do this? If God is a good God, listen, trust God. God is good all of the time. All of the time. We may not experience things the way we wanted to experience in order for us to call God good, but His very nature, God is good. He is good. He is compassionate. He loved us so much He gave us Jesus Christ. How much more can He reveal His love to us? So have faith in God. The psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 8, the verse that divides the Bible into two, says it is better to place your confidence in God than your confidence in men. Put your trust in God rather than put your confidence in men. Let me just read to you Psalm 9. Listen to what David has to say. For everyone who knows your name, your wonderful name, keeps putting their trust in you. They can count on you for help. No matter what, O Lord, you will never, no, never neglect those who come to you. Isn't that a powerful verse? Those who know your wonderful name will put their trust in you because you will never, 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 never neglect those who come to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, I like the Passion Translation. Listen to what it says. Without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that He is real and that He rewards rewards the faith of those who passionately seek Him. As I shared with you in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus speaks to Peter and He says, Simon, Simon, the enemy, the devil, Satan, has asked for you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And I've been praying. The reason why I'm sharing this message is because I've been praying that during this entire season, our faith will not fail us. I'd like us to go to James chapter 5 and verse 1. And this is verse 11. Sorry, this is what it says in the English Standard Version. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. We consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. You have heard. I'd like to speak to you this morning about unshakable faith or steadfast faith. Blessed is the one who is steadfast in the Lord. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, his unshakable faith. Now, with that in mind, I want to talk a little bit about Job today. In fact, the entire subject is on Job himself, because we know what Job went through. It begins like this in Job chapter 1 and verse 1. There was a man. There was a man. And it begins to describe him. It gives us a profile of this man. It tells us that he was a very successful businessman. He had great wealth, and his wealth is listed out for us to see. He is known as the most influential. He's called, in some translations, the greatest man in the East. He's also called the wealthiest person on the earth at that time. So he was a great businessman. And his wealth is mentioned by his possessions. Listen to this. He had 7,000 sheep. Now think about it, all right? If you had 7,000 sheep, the amount of meat that could be sold, the amount of wool that could be got from the sheep, the entire grazing grounds that you must own, all right? 7,000 sheep. He had 3,000 camels. Now at this point of time, people use camels for caravans. They would travel across nations, across the desert, from one country to another country. And caravans would be going along those routes. And they needed these caravans. So he had what we today would call like a bus company and transporting people from one side to the other. Today, he would have a great number of buses. This is what he had. Then he also had 500 female donkeys, which simply meant that he had a great trucking business in today's language, because the female donkeys would carry a greater load than the male donkeys. The male donkeys were much smaller. The female donkeys could carry great loads on their back along these great caravan routes. Then he also had oxen, 1,000 oxen. 1,000 oxen. They're all in round figures. So he probably had slightly less, or in fact, more. He was the greatest man. Now, if you had 1,000 oxen to plow the ground, you must have had hectares of land all around, fertile land, all well plowed and everything else. And on top of that, he had 10 children, beautiful. They said his daughters were very beautiful, and he had wonderful sons. So he had it all, so to speak. And yet, in spite of it all, he was not just a successful businessman. He was also a God-fearing man. In verse 8, it says that he feared God. He feared God. And that's a wonderful thing, to be able to be a business person, yet you have the fear of God, which meant that he walked in integrity because he feared God. He would not cheat in his business dealings. He feared God, all right? And his fear of God is also demonstrated in that he prayed every day. He kept thinking, maybe my children would have sinned. Now, if you think about your children sinning, you would have definitely looked into your own heart before you think, maybe my kids sinned. You would say to yourself, maybe I sinned. So he was a man who walked before God in every aspect that, you know, that God would approve of him. In fact, God spoke to the devil and he said, have you seen my servant Job? Have you beheld him, my servant Job? Now, I like that phrase because it kind of says something to me. In all his dealings, Job was actually serving God. He was actually serving God. Isn't that something to think about? Have you beheld my servant? It's like Job was serving God in everything that he did. Isn't that something? All right. So now Job comes and he stands on that rooftop. You know, in those days, they never built double-story, triple-story buildings. They just built one whole building, and the top was solid, roof kind of thing. And not like the kind of roofs we have. It was just a flat thing. And Job would go up there and he would have, you know, relax on that place and sit in his chair and look over the entire estate that he had, you know, from the rooftop of his mansion that he lived in. And he would every day get up there and praise God for it and thank God for it. And church, I pray that no matter how much we are blessed, we must always not forget the benefits of the Lord. Learn to praise Him all of the time, from the rising of the sunset, King David. I will praise the Lord. To the going down, I will bless God. Who am I that you should bless me in such a way? God, I want to bless you. As Job looked across and saw his children go out there to the homes and the number of servants he must have had. Seeing all these things, he would say, God, I want to bless you. I want to thank you. Everything is for your glory, O God. May we have a heart like Job. But you understand something. It begins with, there was a man. He was no Superman. He was not an angel. He was a man. It tells me a couple of things. One, that God is absolutely interested in the individual. And the second thing is that he's absolutely interested in the ordinary individual. That he's interested in you. He's interested in me. There was a man. There is a woman this morning listening to the message. There is a guy out there, a young man, an old man, a young person. You know, God is looking at you this morning. There was a man. However, in verse 6, it says, now there was a day. There was a day. We're not going to look behind the curtains of what happens up there in the heavenlies. We're just going to look at what happens on the earth. I want you to picture with me. Job has just come down from the roof and he comes in for dinner and he's sitting at the table. And as it is sitting there, suddenly there comes a loud banging on the door. And servants go rush to open the door, and here comes a servant. He looks beaten up. He's bloodied all over. And he runs and he falls at the feet of Job, and Job rises up from his chair and looks at the servant, wondering what happened. And the servant says, sir, we were out there watching over all your sheep, but the enemy, the Sabians, came in from one side and they stole everything. They came and herded all the sheep away and killed every one of your servants, and I only am left. And he's weeping. And Job is shocked. He does not know how to take this in. And then in rushes in another one, also very badly scarred, beaten, bloody, falls. And he says, sir, the camel and the donkeys were side by side. And again, the enemy came in. We don't know from which direction, but there were so many of them, and they took everything away and killed everyone. I only have escaped. I only have escaped. And Job is thinking to himself, you know, what's happening? And the third servant comes in and says, the oxen have all been stolen, sir. All the servants have been killed. Only I am left. He's got 3-4 bloodied servants just before him on the ground, kneeling and pleading and crying and crying and weeping their hearts out. All are dead. And Job, just as Job looks and trying to recover, his wife comes in when she hears the commotion. And she comes up to him and he puts his arm around her and says, we have lost it all, honey. We have lost it all. But thank God, at least our children have not been harmed. And before the words can come out of his mouth, another servant comes in and he falls prostrate before the master. And he says, master, master, he says, I don't know what happened, but it seems like a terrible thunderbolt hit your boy's house and all your children were there. Sir, the entire house collapsed. We tried to get through the rubble to find your children, and we did. Every one of them is dead. Every one of them is dead. Job's wife collapses to the ground. Job falls back in his chair with wailing and crying and does not know how to handle it. He just wails. Lost it all. There was a day. One day has changed everything. Who would have believed that one day could change our entire world? Everything gone in a day. Economy gone. Health of so many thousands affected in a day. Every day we look, my wife would go and look for hotspots, you know, and find out this area, how many people are affected every day. We look at the numbers, thousands in a day. In a day, everything was transformed in a day. In one day, something so small that you had to find it through a microscope changed the world. Change the world, change our whole world. We will never be the same again. They said, this is the new normal. In a day, there was a man, but there also was a day. And we need to recognize that that day can come at any time for us. That's why the Bible tells us, you know, we got to be so careful, because in a day, things can happen. We are so proud about our health and everything that we have. And then in a day, I just got news of one of the pastors from one of our assembly churches. To me, he's a young man. I found out he was about 60. I knew him when he was young. The wife went to wake him up. He didn't wake up. Turned him around, and he had already gone. In a day, the entire family transformed. In a day, affected. In a day. But Job's faith, I do not know how long this happened between the time it took place and Job's response. But we're going to look at Job's response as briefly as we can. In Job chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, it says this, "Then Job arose." The first thing is, Job arose. I don't know how long the pause was. I don't think it was just in a day. I think it was a long season of Job just not being able to do anything. Emotions collapse. His entire being collapsed. When the inner man collapses, the outer man responds just as equally and even more so. It's easy then to become sick when everything inside of you, when you have lost everything. You know, the fact about this whole story is not that Job suffered, but that Job suffered in some of the ways you may be suffering. Your relatives, your friends, our entire nation. That's the thing that encourages us. So Job arose. We know that he decided to do something about this. He still would go and watch the house where his children died, and furnaces would still have been going on. The fire would have still been there, or it was still smoking. The remnants of his most precious possessions, his children. Everything is gone. The smoking, the smoldering remains. They are all there. They are real. They are very real. And we hear the news that's coming into our country and all the news that's coming up. You know, somebody sent me a little video talking about the greatest economies that are going to rise by the year 2050. And Indonesia will be one of the top five countries in the world. You know, by Price Waterhouse, they did a little study and they said that's where Indonesia will be. Of course, China will be number one, and then down the other countries. Malaysia is not to be found. The news that's coming in does not seem to be good. We seem to be rising from ashes, so to speak. The ashes of a nation that has gone into complete defeat, distress. And it pains our heart. But Job does this. He peels himself off the ground. I don't know what you are going through. You may be going through a real tough time, where you begin to think that there is no hope at all. Will there ever be a point where we can rise again? Will there ever come a time? But Job peels himself off the ground. He makes a very conscious decision. If I just lie here, then I will die. I'm thinking of the lepers, you know. At one time, they were in a city, and Israel was surrounded by the enemy. And they were dying. It was so bad that the people, they say, were eating basically dove's dung. And they were even bargaining among themselves, you know, whose child shall we eat today? It was such a bad situation in Israel. But there were four lepers who decided, they said, listen, if we stay in the city, we're going to die. So we might as well go outside there. If they capture us and make us prisoners, at least we can have something to eat. We don't know what's going to happen. They are lepers. Weak, weak lepers. But they decided, listen, no point us lying here. Let's go out and do something. Let's try something. Let's go knock on the door to get a job. Something, man. Don't just lie there. And they go outside. By the time they come out, God uses the feet of these leprous people and makes it sound as if a great army is coming. The enemy gets confused. They start killing one another. By the time the lepers come out to the camp of the enemy, seeking to surrender themselves, they find everybody dead. And there is so much food and so much of everything that they needed. Your one decision could cause you to when you arise, when you make that decision to rise up, something good can happen. So arise, arise. Peter decided, I fail God. I fail God so miserably. But I'm not going to lie in the ashes of defeat. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to go again. I'm going to try one more time. I'm going to try one more time. One of the most favorite parables of Jesus is the parable of the prodigal son. Yes, he ran away. Yes, he messed his life up. He did something terrible. But you know what? There came a time where he said to himself, I will arise. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself, I will arise. Job arose. And I pray no matter what you're going through, you yourself will rise up from the ashes of your defeat. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for the light has come. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, he talks about how they have been afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. How, he says, by the surpassing, we have God's surpassing power working inside of us. We are different, church. We've got God's power inside of us. Therefore, arise and shine, for your light has come. The second thing that Job does is he confesses. It says this, he tore his robe. It's a symbol of saying, God, I am in total grief. I bear myself to you. I tore his robe apart, saying, God, here am I. I'm in pain. I'm in deep pain because of what I'm going through. God, I'm a man, and I'm pain. I'm not an angel. I'm not a super person. I am a man. I feel God. I am in absolute pain. God, help me. God, save me. God, deliver me. God, I'm in pain. One of the things we have to learn to do is learn to confess that we are in pain. That's why the Bible says, you know, when somebody passes on, we don't moan like people in the world without a hope, but we do moan. Jesus wept. And the word, you know, the shortest verse in the Bible, John chapter 11, where he comes to the tomb of Lazarus, he says, Jesus wept, shortest verse. And the word wept is to cry with a loud voice as if there is no hope, yet he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But he identified with the people when they cried. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm a very, very emotional person. I can start crying watching a march past. When my kids used to have sports, I just get emotional. I'm a very emotional person. But we need to understand that when we are in pain, we need to come to God and say, that's why I say to you, church, be honest with God. Don't hide away. Don't back up. Be honest. Say, God, I am in pain. I don't know what to do. I'm suffering. I'm confused. I'm in a dilemma. Lord, I am in pain. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 tells us that God can be touched by the feelings. He can be touched by our feelings. Hallelujah. where we feel like this, he's touched by it. Just like a father, when a child begins to cry, the parent immediately wants to do something to help them. Their hearts melt when a child cries. Heart of a parent melts. The third thing Job did was he humbled himself. It says he shaved his head. The hair is always pictured in Scripture as the glory of a person, an expression of their worth. Hair, long hair is the glory of a woman. It talks about the hair. Men should not shave their head. The priest is not commanded never to shave himself in that sense. So here he is. He humbles himself before God. He says, God, what glory do I have to glory in? I am nothing before you. One of the major things about God is the word says this, that God resists the proud, but he exalts the humble. Because Jesus humbled himself, God has given him a name that is above every other name. The path to greatness is humility. If anybody wants to be great in my kingdom, let him serve. I have got no glory to glory in. I often say, you know, like I've shared this before, I share it to many ministers, don't always try to build a reputation. It's a very heavy burden to carry. Forget about all of that. It's so important, you know, that we have big titles behind our names, you know, and all the kind of stuff. All that must go. Job humbled himself. Number four, Job worships. He falls to the ground. This is not a collapse, but this is rather a falling prostrate in submission. In worship, face on the ground, lying full down. There is no wailing. There is no whining. There's no complaining, grumbling. There is no cursing. Job, there is no bitterness. There's no clenched fist like in the book of Revelation. They clenched their fist against God when God was pouring out judgment. You know, there's no, how can you do this to me? I served you. Everything that I had was for your service. I served you. You yourself know that I have been serving you every day. I pray, offer sacrifices every day. And this happened to me. I don't know. I could have responded that way, but not Job. God help us so that we will not respond that way in cursing God, but rather in looking to him and saying, God, I really need you so desperately. Help me, God. Help me. True worship always lifts us up into the presence of God. That's why the Bible says that God is looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks true worshipers. Now, it's very easy to worship God and clap our hands when everything is going well. But this is the situation. This is chapter one, where everything begins, where a day has devastated Job. I think it takes him weeks. But he finally decides, listen, I've got to make a change in my life. I'm still going to worship God. I'm still going to worship God. And then last of all, Job speaks. He worships God and then he opens his mouth and he speaks. Naked we came into the world and naked shall we leave. What an amazing conclusion. That everything that I have has been bestowed upon me. I didn't come into the world carrying sheep. I didn't come into the world carrying my oxen, my camels, my dog. I came into the world with nothing. Therefore, I leave with nothing. I carry nothing out. I carry nothing out. Even the children that I had were given to me. Given to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He doesn't put blame on God, puts his arms around his wife, and he says, dear, we came with nothing, and everything that we have has been bestowed upon us. Don't be foolish. Don't act like the other women who will cry out like this. We know what it is to be blessed by God. Let's bless him together. Let's bless the Lord together. You never find a negative word coming out of the mouth of his wife after this incident? Of course, at first when he begins to get his sickness and all of that, but he says, listen, listen, we got to learn to bless the Lord. Don't act like the foolish women in this world. Let's bless him. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7 says this, isn't it true that our hands were empty when we came into the world? And when we leave this world, our hands are still empty. We're not going to be gripping on to something. Usually they fold our hands and put it on the chest or put it like this. But the palms are open. It's not going to be clenched. It's going to be open. Maybe they might put a Bible there in some people, but others it will just rest like this. You won't hold them gripping on to anything. Naked we came into the world. Naked we shall leave. Now, friends, I know this may seem to be a tough message, but this is in the Bible to help us understand that our faith must not be easily shaken. We can have steadfast faith, unshakable faith. Rise up. Rise up. Tell God, God, I hurt. Confess to him. Humble yourself before him. Worship him and talk to him. And let him do something powerful in your life so you can say, by your spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I do not know exactly what individuals are going through. And if they say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through, and that's true. I don't. But you do. You know exactly what they are going through. And your desire is that you want to bless them and bring them out of this. And at the end of the day, it tells us that you bless Job in such a powerful way. James says, we have seen what God can do when somebody is steadfast, how the Lord will show compassion and mercy, and they shall become blessed. And we believe this word, Lord. We learn from the steadfast love, steadfastness of Job's faith. We learn from this. And I will say this morning, I will arise as well. And I pray that each person who's going through a tough time will also say, this is not the end, it's just the beginning of something new, but I shall arise. I'll peel myself off the ground and I will arise and I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. So now, Father, we lift our hands and I ask of you to so bless your people and keep them. Cause your face to shine upon them and be gracious unto them. Lift up your countenance upon each one. Give them peace in all their homes. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the amazing love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the blessed communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you. In Jesus' name, have a great week. Enjoy this entire week before we come back again next Sunday. I'm praying that I will see every one of you. Stay blessed.